Let's ask the Lord to bless us as we consider his word. Yeah, Father, thank you as we take your word. We even saw at the beginning of Revelation that everyone who reads this book is blessed. And we thank you for the joy and privilege we have to consider this chapter, Revelation 5 today. Thank you for how it was read to us, and we look forward now to looking into it. And we ask that you would help us, and especially by your Spirit, that you would open our heart, our mind to these great things, this great revelation that has been given to us. Fantastic, Lord, how you've given us this amazing book. It's tricky, it's challenging at times, it's a bit hard to work out what's going on, but this chapter is very clear. So we ask that you would allow it to have great impact upon our life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, as we started off again in the book of Revelation, after starting at the end of last year, I don't know about you, but most of the week I have been thinking about Revelation chapter 4. It's just been in my head, just thinking about this most magnificent chapter in the Bible. It's the most magnificent chapter, one of the big magnificent chapters in our Bible. And why do I say that? Because we see the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, sitting upon the throne. Through John is privileged to be lifted up to heaven, and he sees the throne room of God. And he sees God seated on the throne, and he hears the worship of God. People, the living beings and the elders falling down and worshiping God. And what a privilege it is, not only did John see these things, don't you feel privileged that we have it in the Bible? Like, we get to see it through his eyes. And I know we're limited in our language, and I appreciate that, but John does his best to describe to us how wonderful it is. I got to say to you, honestly, as best I can say to you, this is the grandest, greatest, and the most glorious thing you will ever see, and can ever see, the throne room of God. And one day, if we have turned from our sins and trusted in Jesus, we are going to see what John saw. How do you feel about that? This is what we should be looking forward to. And not only are we going to see it, but we are going to be there before the throne forever. And I've got to tell you some great verses about that. In Revelation, we're going to come across this. It says in Revelation 7 verse 15, speaking of those who have washed themselves in Christ. It says, they are before the throne of God, and they will serve him day and night in his temple. Where are they? Before the throne of God. And Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter, verse 4, the first part of that verse says, and they will see his face. We're going to see this. You've got to be excited about that. Thank you, Jesus. He's done this for us. We're going to see God and be with him forever and ever. So can you imagine it? You ought to try and imagine it. It's there. What a revelation. This is what Christ has done for us. And I know, I want to just say this. I love this. So often, you know, we do think narrow. We think Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sins and so that I don't have to go to hell. Yeah, that's true. Amen. But that's not all. He saved us to come into the very presence of God and to be with him forever and ever. And not only that, the one who sits on the throne is our Father, and we're his children. What Christ has done for us is mind-boggling, beyond compare. Make sure you have a good grasp of how great our salvation is in Christ, as the Word of God declares. Yeah, it's amazing. All right, so we're going to get into this chapter 5 now, but I want to just give two highlights, right, in regards to last week's message from Revelation chapter 4. And the first thing I want to highlight to you is that John, in chapter 4 verse 1, John is told that the Lord Jesus is going to reveal to him the future. Alright? Chapter 4 verse 1 says, now these things I looked, and behold, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, that's the Lord Jesus' voice, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Now what's intriguing is that John will see the future, but the next part of chapter 4 isn't about the future. the very first thing that the Lord Jesus wants John to see is the Father. He didn't want John to behold the future first, but he wanted John to behold the Father who holds the future. Wow, I love that. The most important thing of all is not the future, but the Father who holds the future. Amen. And so John sees the Father seated upon his glorious throne. Seated, settled. There he is upon the throne. And Revelation 4 tries to, in our words, tries to explain the wonder and the glory of this one who sits upon the throne, who is our Father. And the other thing I want to highlight from Revelation chapter 4 is that there's a mention of lots of different things, like the strange living beings with eyes all over them. That's pretty strange, isn't it? I admit to that. But anyway, and then there's the 24 elders. And there's all sorts of things like peals of thunder and lightning bolts occurring around the throne. And there's a sea of glass and a rainbow that's like an emerald in appearance. All these things. They're so easy for us to get caught up in the detail. I wonder who the elders are. I wonder about these living beings. But that's not the point. The whole point of Revelation 4 is, even though all those things are around, the most important thing is God and the worship of God. Everything falling down, worshipping the one seated upon the throne. That's what we're meant to be caught up with. Heaven is delighted in God. Not because it has to be, they just want to be. They are caught up spontaneously in the worship of God. And they say great things like Revelation chapter 4 verse 8. The four living creatures say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." At the end of the chapter, we read these words, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created." Wow, can you just imagine the beautiful worship given to God constantly? And you know, friends, as I look at that, I can't help but think, surely we've got to say amen to what they're saying. Because our God is holy and wonderful. He's our Creator. But we've got even more to add to the song, haven't we? Because it's not angels that have been redeemed, but us humans. We have tasted of God's grace. It's not mentioned in Revelation 4. And God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy. And surely, as humans, we ought to understand that, wow, we've got even more things to praise God for. What a great God. All right, so now we are going to come into Revelation chapter 5. And we're about to see another most magnificent chapter in all the Bible. And it's all eyes on Jesus in this chapter. All eyes on Him. So let's find out what John sees. He's still in heaven. Let's see what John sees as we read through the book of Revelation, chapter 5. So we're going to start off by reading verses 1 to 4. And I almost feel like I need, like a drum roll. Like honestly, these are magnificent chapters. Do you understand that, don't you? Like, this is huge. What a privilege it is to have these words. I hope you realize that. Praise God that He's given us these words. And I'm not going to do any justice to it, by the way. I've got to tell you that straight up. Like, you've got to just take away this and think about it and allow God's Spirit to fill your heart and mind with what it says. But we'll do our best. So it says, and even the first scene is magnificent. "I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals." So just picture that image. On the throne, our magnificent God, and there He is. He has got a scroll. Some versions have a book. It's probably a scroll because it's written on the inside and the outside, rolled up, and it's got seven seals, and there it is. It's like the Father's got it in His hand. I imagine it's like that. All right, there it is, in the hand, like that. And then verse 2 says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. Wow. Some book or scroll, you know. Like you can just see the anticipation in heaven. Like it's so important that someone takes that scroll from the hand of the Father. But there's no one worthy. And it's such a disappointment to John that he's weeping. Not just shedding a few tears, he is weeping. It's like, wow, what's going on? No one is able to take the scroll. Hey, what do you reckon the scroll is? And the answer is, we don't know. But I reckon we can have a good guess about what's in the scroll. The last seal of the scroll is broken in Revelation chapter 8. Which means that's when it is opened. Revelation chapter 8, if you know anything about Revelation, is the beginning of things unfolding after the magnificent return of Christ. So I understand the scroll is about what happens after Christ returns. And what happens after Christ returns? In a nutshell, we have the absolute and beautiful rule of Christ over all creation in all its fullness. Now he allows us humans to choose and to do our own thing. He allows us freedom. But one day, a righteous rule will come in. And so the king and his righteous rule will be explained, I'm sure, in that scroll. And also, I believe it's going to be talking about the millennial rule of Christ and the new creation of the new heavens and the new earth. I'm sure all these things are contained in the scroll. And you can only imagine the anticipation in heaven when John sees this. There's no one to take it. No one to take that scroll which explains the future that has the emperor, the king's edict, decree, the will. No one. And he's weeping. What's going on? No one. Think of who could take it. Gabriel and Michael. No. None of the angels. None of the living beings. None of the 24 elders. There's no one. No one, what's the word? Worthy to take the scroll. But don't be disappointed, as we've already read. Let's now read verse 5 of Revelation chapter 5. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." Wow! Can you imagine how John felt now? No weeping now. He is so delighted. There is one, just one, who is worthy to take the scroll from the right hand of him who sits on the throne. He is worthy. And look how he's described. He's described as what? The lion. A great symbol for the one who is the king, the ruler. That's our Lord Jesus. Though he came so humbly into our world, though he just was a plain human being in regards to his appearance, he's none other than the great lion. And his human lineage is mentioned. He comes from the tribe of Judah. And there it is. It's actually in Genesis 49 where it speaks about that. And he's from the root of David. It speaks of his human lineage. And he is worthy to take the scroll. Why? Because he overcame. He overcame. He conquered. What's being referred to there? We'll come across it when we get to verses 9 and 10. He overcame sin for us. He overcame death for us, and he conquered death himself. Because he overcame, all heaven knows, only this one is worthy. He is worthy to be entrusted with the scroll, with all that is to happen, with all the future. That's who he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one, and he's the one. Wow. So what a magnificent verse 5 is. But then let's read verse 6. And it says, "And I saw..." Okay, so you've got to picture this. John hears this from the elder. So I'm imagining he's looking into the eyes of the elder, and the elder's saying, "Stop weeping. There is the lion of the tribe of Judah who's worthy." So then I imagine then he turns to see who it is. And now his eyes are open. He sees something. But he turns. He doesn't see a lion. Let's find out what he sees. He is a lion, but he saw another image. verse 6, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb. A lamb standing as is slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Wow! John turns and sees a lamb. Not just any lamb, a lamb who had been slain. What is John seeing? John is seeing the risen Lord Jesus, who constantly and forevermore bears in his glorified body the wound marks of the cross. Remember that, what he said to his disciples, come, put your finger in my nail prints, in my hands and feet, put it into my side. I imagine maybe even the crown of thorns there. There is imagery left on Jesus in his glorified body forevermore, so that we might always remember, especially us, and all of heaven, that he's the one, he, the king, the lion, who sacrificed himself as a lamb. And the predominant name given to Jesus in the book of Revelation is not lion, but lamb. It's the lamb. That is the thing that all of heaven is so, so thrilled with, that this one who died for us, wow, what a big thing it is. This thing we do is going to be remembered forever. When Jesus died for us, it's going to be remembered forever. Jesus started us to remember it when he left this earth, and we still remember his death, and we're going to remember his death forevermore. He is the Lamb who was slain. It's a really big thing. It's a really big thing to think of the King humbling himself and taking on human form. It's beyond compare that he, the Holy One, should come and into our world and take on our sin. That he, the author of life, who gives life to all creation, should die. Do you understand how incredible this is? Even as I say these things, it's like beyond belief almost, that this great one should do this. And it will never be forgotten for all eternity. What about for you? I hope you will always remember it. Okay, now we want to look at a few other things. In Revelation chapter 5 verse 6, notice where Jesus is. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb. He is right in the center. He's there before the throne of his Father with the elders and the living beings around him. Other scriptures tell us that he's at the right hand of the Father. He's in the central place. Of course he is. He's the Son of God. And there he is. That's where John sees him. Now, this other language here is metaphoric language, of course, in the end of verse 6. He has seven horns and seven eyes. It's metaphoric language. Seven means perfect or complete. And horn means power. So what it means is that he has seven horns, means he has perfect power. He's almighty. And the seven eyes stand for how he has perfect sight. He's all-knowing. Who else is all-powerful and all-knowing? Only the Father. Jesus is exactly like the Father. Beautiful verse in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. It says of Jesus that he is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his nature. What a great verse. And here you see it. Those seven horns and seven eyes are speaking of his character that is exactly the same as only one other, and that is the Father. Wow. And then we come to verse 7. Now verse 7 is like one of those verses like, I don't know, I picture there is a hush in heaven. Why is that? Look at verse 7. And Jesus, he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this? This is better than anything you've ever seen, right? What a thing. Here it is. It's the only one who can. He comes up to the throne and he's the only one worthy, and he actually takes the scroll out of the hand of him who sits on the throne. I said the word hush. I can only imagine all heaven holding its breath at this most magnificent time. This is like the best thing ever. You know, like, wow, look at this. I even go further. I can't help but imagine the Father with a smile upon his face as he gives the scroll into the hands of his beloved son. And I can't help but imagine the faith of the Lamb, even Jesus, with such reverence and admiration for the Father as he takes that scroll. It's good to picture these things. This is the greatest scene out. Wow. And you know, what John is seeing is actually past. It happened. It's already happened. It's not something that happens every day. It happened once. When did it happen? We believe it happened when Jesus ascended. When he ascended, there was a coronation service. And I can't help but read to you now from the book of Daniel, where there's another great vision. It doesn't mention a scroll, but you sort of get the picture of it. Daniel chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel 7. I'll read verse 9, and then I'll read verses 13 and 14. And this is where God the Father is called the Ancient of Days. I love that title. Isn't it strong? The Ancient of Days. Daniel 7 verse 9. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. Then verse 13. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men and women of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not ever be destroyed. I reckon it all goes together. This is it. This is when Jesus ascends in the cloud. He ascended in the cloud. He comes up to heaven and he is presented before the Father and he receives the kingdom right then and there. And I'm sure that's when he took the scroll. He's got it. He's got it already. And he's coming back soon and he's going to carry out everything written in it. Praise the Lord. Pretty exciting, isn't it? I reckon it is. Got to take a bit of a breath now. Like, this is amazing. I love reading these things. Wow. Revelation chapter 5 verse 7, but what a verse. And he came and took the book or scroll out of the right hand of him who sit on the throne. So after all that, what happened then? Well, we're going to read it. Let me tell you one thing that happened. You'll see this word mentioned. There was singing. There was singing in heaven. Are you surprised by that? Why do we sing? We sing because of joy. We sing because of delight. Heaven was absolutely delighted, filled with joy, when the Lord Jesus took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits on the throne. Man, there was excitement in heaven and they began to sing. That's what you do. You sing. Let's read it. Let's read verses 8 to 10 of Revelation 5. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down. Look at this. Fell down before the Lamb. Each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." They are singing. They're so delighted, fueled by the prayers of the saints, that's us. All these prayers we make, they're all there. And fueled by the joy of seeing the Son take the scroll from the right hand of him who sits on the throne, they start singing. The living beings and the 24 elders, they're all singing. It's like a grandstand. There's a first tier singing, the second tier singing, and then there's a third tier. Let's read about them. Verse 11 onwards, it says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the four living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." Man, that's just like a zillion. That's what one of my daughters would say. Like, it's that big number. There's all these angels of God. And they also are singing. They're singing these words, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing." What a picture. Heaven is erupting in praise. Why? Because of the one who is worthy and able to take the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits on the throne. There's such joy. You know, I look at the contrast. I know when Jesus died, those words were said, "We will not have this man rule over us." And the normal response by most humans today is, "We will not have this man rule over us." But in heaven, it's so different. In heaven it is, "We will have this one rule over us." We are so delighted. And if you're a Christian, you should be on that side too. Absolutely delighted in the one who has taken the scroll and who will rule forevermore. He's the one who is the lover of our soul. He's the one who is the greatest, the most just and fair, the most kindest person ever. He's the one who rules. I am so glad about that. Wow. So anyway, that's not even the crescendo, right? It's getting higher. It's like going to watch Handel's Messiah, and then suddenly you get to the Hallelujah chorus. All right? So here we go. Verse 13. And so John now sees the vision get bigger. It's like it's now beyond heaven, says. Verse 13 and 14. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. What a picture. That's the fourth tier of the grandstand now. Everyone else is included. Wow. And I've got to say, before I forget this, I reckon of all the things I know in the Bible, this has got to be the greatest proof and absolutely clear declaration that Jesus is God. Because I see the Father and the Son being worshipped together. There's no dispute. What a great picture to absolutely declare Jesus is God. He is worthy of worship. All of heaven worships him because he is divine as well. And yet the name that is given to him in the book of Revelation, the most common name given to him, is the word Lamb. Does that strike you as amazing? He's called the Lamb. The great declaration in heaven is four words: "Worthy is the Lamb." I can just picture them constantly singing it: "Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb." And to the Father they sing, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." Many of our songs have these phrases in them. There's two great declarations in heaven: holy is God and worthy is the Lamb. But I want to finish by going back to verses 9 and 10. And even though I am enthralled seeing all of heaven filled with joy and delight in regards to who Jesus is and how he has the scroll in his hand, I want to read it again, verses 9 and 10. Let me read these to you again. It says, "Worthy are you," they're singing to the Lord Jesus, "worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And I go, wow. That's talking about us. That's talking about not just Jesus conquering death, but how he did something really, really, really special for you and I. What are you thinking? What are you thinking when you read it? I'm thinking, wow, I once was a slave of sin. I once was under Satan's power. And the word used here is that Jesus, all heaven says this, Jesus purchased us with his blood. Like, wow, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the angels talking about this? Can you believe the great king, what he did for those people down on earth? For Ian. that he should purchase me with his blood. Wow. It's beyond compare. He purchased me by paying the penalty for my sins. He had to do it by laying down his life and shedding his blood. He has purchased me. I am his. And so are you if you are the Lord's. He has purchased us. And look at the scope of this purchase. With his blood, he has purchased all people from all the tribes and tongues and peoples and nations if we receive him. If we receive him, he's purchased us. The scope of his salvation is extraordinary. Not just Jewish people, but all people. All people can be saved through him. His blood is able to wash anyone, no matter how bad we are, and make us clean. Praise his name. He has what a precious word that is. You have been purchased at great cost to Jesus. He gave himself for you so that you might be his. And look what he's made us in verse 10. So that he has made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. The earth there, you have to go to Revelation 21 to find out about that. That's the new earth. When we're in God's kingdom in this righteous rule forevermore, on that new earth, we will reign with Christ. Wow, what Jesus has done for us is beyond compare. I cannot describe it to you. It's so much bigger than I could ever imagine. And it's for all, and we have all eternity to enjoy it and explore it. But I want to finish with those great truths. He has purchased you, but only if we have received him. I've got to make that clear. These words are not referring to universal salvation, but it's only for those who will allow Jesus to rule over them. The one who has bowed their knee for Christ to save them and to come into their life. They're the ones who have been purchased, and they're the ones who will be before the throne forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're not there yet, please see Rod or myself or one of the elders today. It's so important we be part of that great group. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much. According to your goodwill, you have given us two great chapters. What a privilege it is to have these chapters, so to speak, to peer into heaven through John's eyes and to see the most glorious things we could ever behold. How lovely it is to see you upon the throne, seated, settled, the great King ruling. And Father, thank you that in this chapter we've looked at, we have seen the wonder of Jesus. To see the one who conquered death, who purchased us, who came up before your throne and was received and took the scroll from your hand. I can only imagine how delighted you were to have your Son take that scroll, the only one who was worthy. And we thank you that this whole future is in his hands. And that's what Revelation is going to tell us about. He's the one ruling and reigning. He's the one in control. And I know he's still coming back, and then he's going to continue to do that great will of yours. And we are so thankful and so delighted that Jesus is the King. We thank you that he's the one you've entrusted all things to. Indeed, we think of his full title, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a title. We thank you for him, and we thank you that though he is the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that he's the Lamb you sacrificed for us. Lord, help us to dwell a lot on that verse, that we have been purchased. Lord, it wasn't angels who were purchased, but us. Please, would you help us to take that in and to behold the wonder of us being purchased by Jesus' blood. Help our lives to be transformed by that great truth. Help us to give ourselves to him completely. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.